Our scripture passage this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. About 4 years ago, I finally preached a series on the entire book of James. Kind of like Pastor Jason did last year. I had started doing it before, but I had never finished the entire letter of James. You see, there are some really difficult things in James that, on the other hand, seem so simple. And I was always scared to preach chapter 5, where James speaks about prayer. I always felt that I couldn't possibly cover this topic adequately. I felt I had to read more and be more certain of myself before I could preach on it. But then I discovered 4 years ago, even though I did a lot of research and read some difficult books, and I read Philip Yancey's book, Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? You still don't have all the answers. And I do recommend that people read this. After all, James seems to tell us that when we are sick, we should just have the elders anoint us with oil and pray over us, and we will be well. And James promised us that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. But this raises so many questions, because we've seen numerous cases where we pray for someone and they don't get well. And we've also seen some people prayed for, and they get well. When Mr. Yancey seriously studied prayer, he came to a similar conclusion as me. I don't know why some prayers are answered with positive results, while other prayers are answered with negative results. But it seems to be that prayer is about our relationship with God. And after preaching that sermon, I realized that even though I came to that conclusion, we still had so much more to learn. So I explored further in two more sermons about prayer. And the first one was based on Matthew chapter 6, which is what we're doing today. And the second one is based on Exodus 32, where Moses prayed on behalf of God's people. And we'll look at that next week. And of course, Matthew chapter 6 is right in the middle of that famous Sermon on the Mount. Imagine Jesus teaching his closest disciples while crowds of onlookers are listening in. Jesus has just finished teaching about a righteousness surpassing that of the Pharisees, the most righteous type of persons that people knew. And now he preaches about prayer. And one of the first things we notice in this teaching is that prayer is not for impressing other people around you. Rather, prayer is about a relationship with God. Matthew 6:1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before people to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Now, this is not meant to keep people from using prayer in communal worship, but rather it is to keep people from praying for show. Because prayer is not about impressing people around you. Prayer is about our relationship to God. And since prayer is about a relationship to God, Jesus encourages us to do our personal prayers in the privacy of our homes, in our own rooms. Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, you keep talking about our relationship to God, but what if I don't have such a close relationship with God? What if I don't even have a close relationship with my earthly father? What if my broken relationships with my earthly parents has discolored my thinking about fatherhood? How can I then go into my room and pray to my Heavenly Father? Well, it's true. Even the best of our earthly fathers and mothers do not live up to the heavenly standard of parenthood. And it is also true that some fathers and mothers have totally messed things up when it comes to parenting. But your Father in heaven knows you. He created you. He loves you. He knows your brokenness, and he even knows your best qualities. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loved us enough to send his Son to us. And so God seeks a relationship with us, his beloved children. But there might still be some others out there doubting their relationship with God. Perhaps you only came to church because your parents forced you. Perhaps you never liked church as a kid and didn't see a God who would care to listen for you, to you. Tell him. Tell him about your doubts. Tell him about your worries. Tell him about your anger. Tell him about your desires. Nothing will surprise him. He already knows. Sure, there are some things that you can't say out loud at a public gathering. But in the privacy of your own room, sitting in your car, while on a walk, by yourself, or quietly in the midst of others, you can tell God anything you want. Now, some people ask, well, how long should I pray? Do I have to have a set routine? Do I have to follow the traditions of our grandparents and parents of praying before and after every meal? Do I have to start my day with prayer? Do I have to finish my day with prayer? Should I follow the five prayer times of Islam? And what if I skip some of these prayer times? Although Jesus doesn't touch or address these questions directly, he does touch on this. Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. See, Jesus doesn't give us a rigid schedule for prayer, but he encourages us to pray. And when we start out praying at first, maybe we keep our prayers very short. After all, God's hearing of our prayers doesn't depend on the length of our prayers or the loudness of our prayers, or the sophistication of our prayers. You may remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The Baal prophets, they praised all day, and increasingly louder, they cut themselves so that their God would hear them. And yet, their prayers were never answered. Elijah, on the other hand, prayed a simple, short prayer. And immediately, his prayer was answered. Now, on the other hand, I don't want you to discourage you from setting up a prayer routine. See, many of our parents and grandparents had a rich prayer life. Not only did they pray before every meal, they also read from God's word at the end of each mealtime. And they ended by giving thanks to God. It was a good prayer routine. And most of them encourage us to also end our day in prayer to God. No, it's true. For some people, this just became a rigid tradition rather than a full devotional life. I remember some uncles who rattled off the Lord's Prayer at the end of every meal, and it seemed like the faster that they got through the prayer, the better it was. And I suspect if that was the case for you, you might want to consider switching up your routine and put more thought into your prayer. Yet for most of us, that isn't how our prayer life falters. You know, for many of us, prayer life falters because we don't pray regularly. We hear this promise that our Father knows what we need before we ask, and take that to mean that we don't have to ask. And perhaps this is true. Perhaps we don't need to ask, but not asking weakens our relationship with God. It's like a child, you know. Some children will call up, Mom, can I have this? Another one won't ever ask and just wait until it's served. But asking, giving thanks, is closely related to gratitude. A grateful person learns to express his gratitude. A grateful person asks for the things he needs or she needs. And sometimes we need a routine in order to live out our gratitude. Jesus even gives us an example of how we can pray. We can begin our prayer with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." See, unlike so many other people in the past who have taught prayer, Jesus puts prayer into a unique relationship. We pray not just to a holy God far distance, but we pray to a Father in heaven or a Heavenly Father. He's not just a distant relationship, and he's not a flawed person. No, he created us. He calls us his children. He knows each one of us better than we know ourselves, better than our fathers and mothers know us. Although, if I were to look around at you mothers out here, many of you know your children very well. He loves us despite our difficult ways. One candidate at a classical exam put it this way: "I think our Heavenly Father delights in us." Think about that for a moment. Our Heavenly Father delights in us. He laughs when we are funny. He smiles upon our kindnesses. He delights in us. And just like a small child speaks to their earthly parents, we get to speak to our Heavenly Father who delights in us. And so Jesus teaches us to address the God of gods as our Father in heaven. Or the way the Catechism puts it, at the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God, through Christ, has become our Father. And we begin our prayer by asking that the Father's name be hallowed. And this is not just a general prayer that God be praised or that God be seen as holy in the world. No, it is a request that is also personal to us. Answer 122. Help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, your wisdom, your kindness, your justice, your mercy, your truth. And it's a prayer that we can expand upon as we walk through the fields and say, oh God, how beautiful is your creation. Or as we go for a drive through the country, it is a prayer that we can expand on as we do our daily living. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Thank you for this gift to me. Let your name be hallowed. But let this hallowing begin in me and in my family. Question and answer 122 again. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. See, that's how the catechism expands this prayer. But we can do this expansion of prayer the closer we draw to the Heavenly Father. We are in a relationship with Him. And how we live affects how others see this Father. And Jesus continues this example prayer by praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, this is both personal and it is general. It is personal in that we ask God to rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. And it is also general in that we ask him to destroy the devil's work, destroy every force which revolts against God and every conspiracy against God's word. For some of us, it's a reminder that it is God who defeats the devil. It is God that defeats the spiritual forces which revolt against him. Yet it also has an effect on us. We pray that we on earth might be as obedient to him as those in heaven already are. And Jesus teaches us to also ask God for our needs. Give us today our daily bread. It's about asking for what we need. It gives our worrying about daily needs to God. Just as Jesus tells us elsewhere, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or stow away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And yet, Jesus encourages us to pray for our daily needs. Both to put away our worries about those needs, but also so that we will gratefully receive his provisions and not in pride, this is what I did for myself. Praying for our daily needs builds trust in the Father and strengthens our relationship with him. And then comes a very difficult part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. It might be easy for us to pray for forgiveness for ourselves, but then Jesus ties this request of forgiveness for ourselves to how we forgive others. And not just our willingness, but our actual practice of forgiving other people. And Jesus even adds a warning after the prayer, for if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that is a scary thought for us. Because most of us cannot practice forgiveness perfectly. Most of us don't even come close to the level of forgiveness that God practices through Jesus Christ. And for most of us, this is a great learning curve. And yet, I don't quite see this as it seems. It seems that first I have to forgive the others, and then God will forgive me. But I think that our forgiving others is part of the process by which we receive God's forgiveness for our sins. Then the more our sins, we see our sins as being forgiven by God, the more we become forgiving of other people. And the Catechism also echoes this sentiment. Forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of grace in us to forgive our neighbors. As we begin this prayer in earnest, our thoughts almost automatically wander to those whom we have trouble forgiving. And soon we might even begin voicing our thoughts about such people. Seriously, God, that person, I need to forgive that person. And as you think about this person, you begin to wonder, what was this in this person that made them act in a certain way towards us? And somehow your understanding of that person grows. You might even grow in empathy towards that person. And so as we pray more and more, we grow in our relationship to our Heavenly Father, but also to the people around us. Jesus also teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It's a prayer that speaks to a great need. Every day there are things that tempt me, there are things that tempt us, and those temptations are hard to resist. And yet, the closer we draw to God, the more He strengthens us to resist that temptation. And yet, even then, we need God to deliver us from the evil one. We cannot rely on our own strength. Some of us may still be thinking, well, I don't know if I can do all that. I don't know if I can say every word of this prayer and mean it. I'm still not sure enough of my relationship with God. And my answer to you is once more, God knows you. He knows your struggle. He knows your doubts. So I advise you to be honest with Him, especially when you are praying by yourself. Tell Him about your doubts. He's not going to be surprised. To tell Him why it is difficult for you to believe, to trust. Tell Him everything you've ever even thought of Him. Tell him about your situation, perhaps your childhood, perhaps your time in a marriage that wasn't perfect. Tell him about your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your kid. Tell him your wishes. Be honest. And I believe that this will help us grow our relationship with a Father who already loves us more than we even love ourselves. I think we want to close this morning in prayer, ending in the Lord's Prayer. And I think you can say it softly together with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for some of us, it is so difficult to come to you. We don't seem to know you well enough, or we are scared even to come into your presence in prayer. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, change our hearts. Help us to know that you love me, that you love us. Even though this is there, even though that is there, even though I have doubts, even though there are so many even thoughs, he loves us. You love us. Help us to realize that. And help us to remember you. Help us to be like a little child going up to mom or dad, even as an infant, just crying, and we know something's there. Or as a toddler, mommy, me, or me too, or I want. Lord, we are all in different places, and yet you know us. So help us to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.